There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Let's get the latest from the grill panel, who have we put together for you this weekend. The man is back from his little sojourn. I think he was a bit away for a week or so, but he is back in one piece, thankfully. CVR has returned. Welcome.
Thank you very much, Tom. It feels like an age since the last time I saw you, but good to be back. Good to be back in Dubai. A little bit of drizzle here at Barasti, but nothing to scare us away. And as you say, an action-packed week within the world of rugby. We were chatting a little bit about a certain like of Billy Valipola on a certain man's message. Of course, Izzy Folau is in a little bit of trouble. We'll be handling that. And as you say, a lot of Super Rugby to report on this weekend. This morning, the Chiefs played the Blues. They won that fixture 33 points to 29. The Lions are currently in action against the Brumbies. The Lions, I tell you what, a second bad week for the boys from Johannesburg. They are down 31-15. And as you say, I'll bring you all up to date with Sevens in Singapore, the Vivier Premiership, top 14 in France, and the Pro 14 happening in Europe.
Where have you been? You've been away, haven't you?
Yeah, I've been for a week skiing in Austria. Fantastic down there. So, yeah, it's been a while since I've been out there. But as you said, nice little break to get away and recharge the batteries.
Week skiing in Austria is tough for some, isn't it? Ross Crist alongside me. Not like us to have a week off to go skiing, is it?
No, yeah, I didn't get the invite.
Mind you,
I,
you're not.
You were in DC, weren't you?
I was. I had to.
You're not shy of a few air miles, are you?
Yeah, I had to scoot back home. Went to Washington DC, then I head down to South Florida. And I saw Tampa. I got to go see the Rays in action. Then I headed down to Naples as well. So it's good to be back. Good to be back up here at Barasti. Join us at the rooftop garden up north, as Tom said. Looking forward to all the sporting action happening today, especially back home. NBA basketball playoffs are in full swing. Stanley Cup playoffs also in full swing. We have the draft coming up. We have a lot of things going on. The Masters, the loaded leaderboard. I can't wait to talk about that. And I am a brand new. I've reinstated myself into the F1 fandom. I watched the Netflix documentary when I was away. And now I'm jumping back in. I'm an F1 fan, Carl. I can't wait to talk about the Chinese Grand Prix today.
We've got lots to talk about on that front in just a little while. As always, get your thoughts in as well. We've also been joined by another voice this week, a friend of ours, friend of the show. He was an ever-present and regular during the Dubai Duty Free Tennis Championships. He's made his way back up here to Barasti to talk all things football and other sports, a sports fan and fan of the show. Monty, good to have you back on board.
Thank you, Tom. Good afternoon. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for having me on the show again.
You've been travelling?
I will be very soon, in 2 weeks' time, to Barcelona to catch on a few games. Barcelona versus Levante. Then I'll be catching Girona versus Sevilla the next day. And if Barcelona do beat Manchester United, it's going to be the big one, the semi-final first leg tie, Barcelona versus Liverpool. That's where I'm going to be heading and watching some good games, yeah.
Wow, look at you lot, eh? Austria, DC, Barcelona. Tom, just Bahrain was great, thanks for asking.
No, Tom, weren't you in Jeddah?
Jeddah and Bahrain in the same week. There we are. I've been doing myself a little
GCC. Look at you go.
Okay, clocking a few IMLs there. Right, we are. Let's get into the world of sport. Let's talk Harry Kane if we can. Why? Because Spurs are in action in just a few moments' time. They've got the early kickoff against Huddersfield. Can Spurs still contend for titles, Monty, without Harry Kane?
I think it's going to be difficult for Spurs, but we've seen it before that when Harry Kane was out earlier in the season, it was Son who stepped in and he took up the position of Harry Kane. And I've got Son in my fantasy league today, so I hope he's getting a goal or two. And it's probably an easy tie for Spurs today, so I predict a 3-0 scoreline.
It's a shame to see him go off. It was a bit of an innocuous injury, but obviously a serious one as well, which is going to see him out for the entirety of this season. Not that there's much season left as well. Couldn't have come at a worse time for Spurs, given the fact they are still in contention for several titles for the end of the season. But I suppose if there is a silver cloud to it, it gives him the summer to get over this fitness issue so they can hit a new season up and running.
Yeah, terrible, terrible timing, Tom. But firstly, to all Spurs supporters, the stadium is absolutely unbelievable. I haven't been there myself, but I was just watching a program on the other day, and absolutely spectacular and phenomenal. But I think, you know, just to drop on as to what Monty said, I think that a lot of emphasis does get placed on Harry Kane because, yes, he is a great player and ultimately one of the great strikers in Europe and in the world. But I also think don't take anything away from the Spurs team. They are a very, very complete team. Will they miss him? Yes, of course they will miss him. Can they kick on? I believe they can, Tom. And I think, you know, at the moment in time, if you look at their running looks pretty decent. They should get an easy victory over Huddersfield today. And I think it's now time for the likes of Ali, for Son, for these guys to step up to the plate. We saw what Son could do in the week against Manchester City. So, I think obviously Spurs would want Harry Kane, but I still think don't write them off without Kane in the team.
I mean, one thing you get with Spurs, I mean, they often talk about strength and depth, and they talk about strength off bench as well. When you look at that Spurs bench, you sort of forget the quality they've got there, the likes of Lucas Moura, the likes of Fernando Llorente. The fact that you've got them waiting in the wings to come on for Spurs mean they are a force to be contended with, but you can't take away from Captain Kane, Ross Christ.
Yeah, he's been the number one guy for them all year long. Number one guy for England in that last World Cup, banging in those goals. But just look at these opponents that they have throughout the rest of the year here. Yes, Manchester City, they're going to go against them twice. Brighton and Hove, West Ham, AFC Bournemouth, Everton. Do any of those really strike fear in your eyes?
Not really, no.
Not really. So they kind of have an easy path here to make it to the top floor without him. So I do think they can do that. They have, of course, the back-to-back with City, which is going to be very hard. But the rest of those teams, they should be able to outmatch them on the field.
I mean, we saw the first legs of the Champions League fixtures earlier on this week. Gave us food for thought. Monty, do you see anything in that Spurs performance that gives you confidence?
I think it's going to be a difficult game at the Etihad, but Manchester City might score 3 goals there. It's at home for sure. So, but Spurs, if they get one goal and a second one, that's going to make the tie very interesting. I see the game ending 3-1 to Manchester City, but second goal for Spurs, that's going to put the tie, you know, in Spurs' favour because of the away goals rule.
So, Champions League action last week, midweek, Tuesday and Wednesday. We'll see, of course, return legs next week. Carlos, of all the teams that you were able to get a glimpse of at this stage of the tournament in those games that we witnessed midweek, who caught your eye?
I think at the moment, you know, the momentum seems to be with Liverpool. You know, I think that they're doing a great job. Yes, they do have the easiest of the draw, but they seem to kind of ease past Porto. City did kind of surprise me because I thought they would see off Spurs. Yeah, there was the missed goal, of course, in that game. But I think if they go back to the Etihad, I still fancy City to push through. I think they'll be too strong for Spurs. To me, the big disappointment of the fixtures in the week were Barcelona. I thought they were pretty poor. I thought that was one game that Manchester United should have really, really pounced on Barca. And I just kind of feel that Manchester United on the night didn't quite come to the party. I think they could have made a lot more of that game, and I don't think they will get that opportunity back in the no-come, Tom. So if I look at the teams at the moment, to me, the dark horse in the Champions League race is Ajax. I still think, you know, this De Jong, this midfield youngster that they got, unbelievable. Yes, he is going to Barcelona. What an absolute talent. And I still think that Ajax could be the dark horse in this race. But looking at the performances, you've got to say Liverpool is in pole position at this moment.
One thing we did learn, Ross Chris, midweek, is that he is human, Lionel Messi, that is, because he bleeds.
Yeah. He looked like a WWE match when he was coming off that pitch out there. But. Yep. Yeah, kind of pedestrian night for Manchester United. They had an opportunity there. You thought for about 40 minutes they just kept pressing and pressing, but the last 15 minutes of that game, Barcelona didn't even let them have the ball, did they? I mean, it was just classic passing back and forth. You have to think maybe United will have maybe a little bit more of a chance when they head to Spain, a little bit of a counterattack, Barcelona on the attack down there in Spain. But, yeah, it's going to be hard, won't it?
I think what we saw in that game was one player, Scott McTominay.
He came off age
at the age of 22, and he was like what Mourinho described. I don't know if you've seen what Mourinho described what he thought of McTominay. He called him a mad dog, and why he said that was because he was all over the pitch, intercepting every pass that Barcelona was trying to, you know, create chances. And Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has found someone really good in his Arsenal for next season.
He's huge, too.
Yeah, I can't agree more. I mean, the maturity he showed at that age. But, you know, Tom, you say, yeah, Messi does bleed. I just thought that was a very, very ugly incident. I think that...
It's a mistake.
Come on. There was intent in there. And I just kind of think that United were... yes, living on the edge, but they kind of went for that style of play to try and intimidate Barcelona. And I think that the Barca team, to me, were just a little bit casual in that fixture. But I think at the Nou Camp, you'll have Messi, Suarez, and all the boys firing on all cylinders. My big question is, Luke Shaw, why are your shoulders so broad? Couldn't you have just tucked back, mate, and let that one go on past?
Your thoughts, please, would be appreciated on all of those comments, on all those thoughts and more. We'll talk more football. In fact, I'll give you lineups for the early kickoff in the Premier League in just a few moments' time. Spurs taking on Huddersfield. That one kicking off at 3:30 local time here in the UAE. Text your thoughts through to us on that one now. 4001.
This is The Grill, live from Barasti. Enjoy your weekend with a 99 dirham main and a hot lunch combo.
It is The Grill, and it's time for us to bang up to date with some of the live scores on the doors at the moment. Just to let you know that the Scottish Cup semi-final has literally just kicked off a couple of minutes ago. This is Hearts take on Inverness Caledonian Thistle. It's 0-0 at the moment in this semi-final. I'm going to keep an eye on that one for you. There's only one other game which is underway as we speak. Espanyol taking on Alaves over in the Spanish La Liga. 70 minutes in, no goals to report on that one. We're waiting for teams to make their way out onto the field at the new, it's not White Hart Lane anymore, is it? What are they calling it? It's called the Investec Stadium or something like that. I'll get the name for you in a minute. But the old White Hart Lane, that is a new White Hart Lane, that's got a new name. Spurs home ground is where the action is in just a few moments' time. Bring you up to date with team names on that one. Before that, though, let's go to the rugby live games.
Yeah, let me start with the NRL down under, Tom. It's the Sydney Roosters currently playing against the Cronulla Sharks. What I can tell you is the Roosters are 12-0 up, 81 minutes played. That game coming to an end. And then over to Super Rugby, it's the Brumbies taking on the Lions at the moment. That game is live from Canberra. We're into the 80th minute there, and the Brumbies are leading the Lions 31 points to 20. This will be the second loss in 2 weeks for the Lions. Heavy loss. Schweiss de Bruyne has got problems in Johannesburg.
Problems in Joburg. It's the name of a new film, I'm sure. Let's get some more thoughts now. Let's go to the football, because I've got team news for you ahead of Huddersfield's journey down to London to play Tottenham. Early kickoff in the Premier League. Huddersfield boss Jan Sievert makes three changes to the side, which were beaten 4-1 by Leicester last Saturday, as Leandro Bakuna, Florent Hadegajonej and Elias Kachunga all come in to the starting 11. Tommy Smith, Alex Pritchard and Aaron Moy all drop to the bench as Chris Schindler captains the side this afternoon. Huddersfield 11, Hammer Hadegajonej, Kongolo, Schindler, Derm, Bakuna, Hogg, Stankovic, Lowe, Grant, Kachunga. Let's hear from Jan Sievert now. He is very aware that the problem for Huddersfield this year, who are already down, remind you, says the problems, or one of the problems for them is, basically not getting the ball in the back of the net.
It's about still to find our possibilities to go in positions where we can score and to have maybe good movements straightwise to the goal in a way, yeah, and also find possibilities to crowd the box even away. So, and we proved it once in West Ham, I would say, because we scored three goals their way, which means that we are able to do it. And then it's Tottenham, which have a big, big quality for me, defensively and offensively. So there will be difficulties, definitely, and it will be a tough game for us, and we have to face it.
So Huddersfield down already. What does that mean for them for the rest of the season? Well, as Sievert has said, it's all about planning for next season in the Championship.
It was a good training week, to be fair. We had good sessions, which were intensive, of course, because we want to stay and work intensively until the end, and we know that these games will be intensive. So I think it was a good training week, and our aim was, of course, to continue on things which we have done and to talk about things which we have to solve better. So still in our process, I would say.
What about the home team? Mauricio Pochettino makes a total of, get this, seven changes from the side which beat Man City in the Champions League in midweek. Captain Hugo Lloris, Jan Vertonghen, Moussa Sissoko, Christian Eriksen, the only players to retain their starting berths. Davinson Sanchez, Juan Foyth, Ben Davies, Kyle Walker-Peters complete a back five alongside Vertonghen, while Victor Wanyama partners Sissoko in the middle of the park. Lucas Moura, Fernando Llorente start in the forward line with Eriksen, while Song Heung-min is named on the bench. There's no place in the matchday squad for the injured pair Harry Kane and Dele Alli. Monty's alongside us here at the moment, our resident football expert. Is that much to be expected at the moment from Mauricio Pochettino?
Seriously, I did not expect Son to be starting on the bench, but obviously Pochettino has kept an eye on the Champions League. and I think they could still get the job done with Lucas Moura and Fernando Llorente up front, because I do strongly believe that they're going to get a result against Huddersfield today. Yeah.
Big issue with injuries for Spurs. Harry Winks, the latest man to pick up an injury, groin injury, during training midweek. So he's going to be out for a little while as well. More headaches for Pochettino. So let's get a bit more on those headaches from Mr. Pochettino. Obviously, one of the big talking points throughout the week has been the fitness of Harry Kane. It's been confirmed straight after that Champions League match that he will be out for the remainder of this season. Questions from the press to Poch about whether Kane was rushed back too quickly from his previous injury.
No. It's nothing to do with... because he started to play in February. I think it's nothing now. Of course, if you... back, start to play, and in the first game that you, after the injury, you back, and happened the same. Maybe you can talk about that we weren't right to force them to play, but I think he played a lot of game, and the reason is not that. Is the reason that was an accident. And happen again. Of course, it's a lot of coincidence, but we are talking about an accident. No, nothing to do with his rehab in the past.
Just an accident, says Maurizio Pochettino. So yeah, we know about the physical state of Harry Kane. What about the mental state?
I think he was so upset after the game. It was so difficult moment for him. Of course, watching the action, yes, we feel so disappointed, and of course, it was difficult to accept the situation, but now it's much better. He did a scan yesterday. He need to see the specialist next week, and we'll see. And then we are going to try to... I think now he's in a good place because he's a very positive guy. And of course, disappointed. It's a little bit sad, but you know very well, we know him, that he's a very positive person that now is looking forward to try to recover as soon as possible.
Talking of that injury list, let's get the latest on Dele Alli from Maurizio Pochettino. He's also been asked about Dele Alli's fitness. We know he's out at the moment. Was there ever any suggestion that maybe Dele Alli could have been risked for a game like this? Right, we are. We'll get back to the other thoughts from Mauricio Pochettino. He has also been asked about whether his team is a favourite for the top four. Is that what they're focusing on now for the remainder of this season?
Very well, me, after 6 years and a half working on England, that I am always, my will is to help the national team. I'm never going to tell some player that no go to the national team. I think the first interest now is to try to provide Harry the best condition and tools to recover as soon as possible. And of course, hope that can be fit as soon as possible, help us on the end of the season and help the national team to achieve or to win the title that they are going to fight on summer.
So even Maurizio Pochettino can't remember the name of that new title that they're fighting for over the summer, can he? It's that new tournament. What's it called? Anyone remember?
And you expect me to remember?
What's it called?
Intercontinental Cup?
Intercontinental Cup.
Okay, yeah. See Poch just went all the way around that one, didn't he? It was like, you know, that thing that they're going to do over the summer. Anyway, thoughts with that man, Harry Kane, and of course, all things Spurs. We'll wait and see. Spurs against Huddersfield kicks off in just a few moments' time. Juventus also got an early kickoff later on this evening as well. Spal, SPAL, taking on Juventus at 5 o'clock local time here in the UAE. They're not going to risk Ronaldo against Spal, are they?
No, I don't think so. Ronaldo hasn't travelled with the team. I saw the images on Instagram.
He's got to be really good then if he has an influence on this game, that's for sure.
Yeah, and I mean, I think 6 weeks ago when I spoke on the show, I said that Juventus had won the league, and 6 weeks later they're playing for the championship tonight. So I think it's without Ronaldo they're going to get a result, 1-1 or 1-0. Yeah, Dybala scoring a goal probably and lifting the La Liga for them. Serie A, sorry. Yeah.
5 o'clock that one gets underway. So will we see the crowning of the champions, Juventus? A little later on, we'll let you know, fellas. We've had qualifying for the Grand Prix tomorrow. We just mentioned at the top of the show that Ross Crist has been, well, he's a renaissance man when it comes to all things F1. Netflix has done for him. It's got him. It's sucked him back into the fold as well. So does that mean you got up at the crack of dawn this morning to watch qualifying in all its guises, and then sat down to watch the pole qualifying as well?
Sadly, I did not make it up this morning. I was out a bit late last night, so I had a little bit of a lie-in this morning. But I am very excited.
Stargazing,
for the,
was it?
Yeah, stargazing, okay. Once again. That's one way of putting it. But I am excited for the racing to take place in Shanghai. It'll be good. Mercedes looks very, very good. They have some fast laps out there with Hamilton coming in second, Bottas coming in first there. So he'll be at top of the pole with a lap time of 1 minute and 31 seconds. So he's zooming around that course. Elsewhere in third pole position is Vettel. And Verstappen and Team Red Bull, that might be my team, the Red
Bull
team.
Whoa. Are you not going for Team Haas?
I think I'm a Red Buller. I think I'm a Red Buller.
What's wrong with this guy?
Here's the thing I don't get, and you guys can paint this one for me. How in the world do they get away with not having to provide their own engine? Doesn't that kind of like make you scratch your head? All these other teams have to provide their own engines. They come in, they work in the auto, they work in the garage all year long. They have some of the greatest engineers. They come on in and they put all these minds together to get this great piece of machinery, put it under the hood, and then they go race it with two of their guys. And Red Bull says, you know what? I'm going to pass on that. I'm going to write you a check, and we'll get two drivers to do it for us. It just seems like it's kind of bypassing the whole entire, the ideology behind the racing in the F1 to me.
And what was Christian Horner's comment? I paid for a first class flight and I got an economy ticket in that movie. He wasn't too happy.
That's right.
He wasn't too happy with Renault, or was he? And of course, they've changed to Honda this year, and it seems like it's actually working quite well for Red Bull. But Ross, that's been happening many, many years when you were still in diapers. It often happens that an engine supplier does supply a chassis supplier that race in Formula One, but they don't actually create, as you say, the engine themselves.
If I just make a point on the qualifying session, if you notice from position one until 10, it's Mercedes, Ferrari, Red Bull, Renault, Haas. I'm not sure if that's the pattern.
No one can accuse Formula One of being predictable. No one. All right, it is anything but. That's for sure.
But I tell you what, Tom, to me that was very exciting, last week's Bahrain Grand Prix. I think a guy to watch is Charles Leclerc from Ferrari. He's nice and aggressive. I like the idea that he's not just taking team orders. You know, over the radio it came, you know, you've got to pull off, you've got to let Vettel through. And he said, no, I'm faster than him. And I kind of think that if Ferrari can get the car right this year, I honestly believe he can get amongst those Mercedes-Benz drivers. And I think, you know, he's a young talent. He's aggressive, he's eager. And I think with him and Max Verstappen, of course, Max Verstappen with Red Bull, if they could just get a couple of things right this year and the cars can be reliable, I think they can launch a big onslaught onto the Mercedes boys.
Just a quick observation. I've got nothing to do with qualifying over at the Chinese Grand Prix. Just on the sport of Formula One. I was doing an event last night that happened to be with my dear friend and colleague, Mr. CVR, who was trying to flog a couple of old Rolexes and things like that. But he had a really nice piece that you had, which was that the checkered history of Formula One, if you like. So it was a checkered flag that had been signed by 20 former champions,
yeah,
or whatever?
20 former champions, yeah.
Yeah, in all the white boxes, the checkered flag. So it was really nice with all this accreditation, the picture as well. The only reason that it sort of caught me aback is obviously you see the extraordinary achievements, and it must be one of the last pieces that Schumacher signed before he had his awful injury as well. So the value, unfortunately, has gone up as a result of that. But and Lewis Hamilton only had two titles on that as well. But the picture that got me, and you had pictures of Mansell and all the champions, Senna and Prost, etc. And there's one from 1982. The name escapes me, unless there's any sort of Formula One boffins out there that can tell me who won the Drivers' Championship in 1982. I suppose there is a Google thing that we could do. Because it's great.
It's Kiki Rosberg.
Kiki Rosberg. You bang on it. Look at that. And the reason that caught my eye, you'd go 1982 and you go, okay, what is that? 20 years ago? Under 20 years ago. No, not 20, 40 years ago.
Yeah,
under 40 years ago. 35 years ago or something like that?
Give or take, yeah.
So around thereabouts, 35 years, you know, give or take within our lifetime to a certain degree. And you see, the picture is Rosberg in the pit lane, walking down the pit lane, having a cigarette. And it's just like, what?
All times have changed.
It's amazing how that sport's changed. I mean, if you look at the characters like James.
Did anyone tell them that there were some highly fueled cars either side of them? Revving engines really quickly and sparks flying.
But Tom, I think it was all part of the image. I mean, these guys were basically like Hollywood superstars back in the day. And I think James Hunt was a perfect example of that, you know, kind of party atmosphere, this real kind of glory boy. And I think that kind of made Formula One, you know, what it is today. You know, it's become this sport that's associated with celebrities and extreme wealth, etc. And I think those guys all played a part to getting the package that is Formula One today. So it's quite fantastic, really. But yeah, as you say,
wasn't Marlboro one of the biggest sponsors back in the day for F1 as well? So yeah. I mean, you know,
and they were till quite recently as well, but right. They just weren't allowed to use the logo, were they? But they were allowed to use the shape of the logo, and that sort of became. Synonymous with Formula One for a long, long time. It was a lot of the wing elements of cars. 4001, if you want to have your say on Formula One and all things other sport, we turn our attention to the Masters straight after this. We'll give you tea times for all the runners and riders. We'll also be hearing from some of the contenders at the moment and getting the lowdown from the team. We talk Masters next.
This is The Grill, live from Barasti. Enjoy your weekend with a 99 dirham main and a hot lunch combo.
Christo, I can't remember. I was listening earlier, I promise you. I was listening to all things Formula One. Just remind us again who's on pole for China. I was just thinking about my next question, that's all.
Well, we're getting on pole. It's Team Mercedes on pole right now. The fastest lap, Valtteri Bottas, with 1 minute, 31 seconds around the Chinese Grand Prix course in Shanghai, followed by teammate Lewis Hamilton, Sebastian Vettel, and Team Ferrari in third and fourth, with Leclerc also coming in fourth. Fifth fastest lap around the Chinese Grand Prix track is Max Verstappen of Team Red Bull. Sorry about that there, Tommy.
Good on you, fella. No goals in the UK to report as yet. Tottenham are taking on Huddersfield. 6 minutes in there, 18 minutes on the clock. Hearts against Inverness in the Scottish Cup semi-final. We head off over to Spain now, where we've got the first goal of the afternoon. Espanyol taking on Alaves. Espanyol, the home team, have taken the lead there. They lead by 1-0. We'll get a goal scorer for you from Monty in just a few moments' time. I was listening to you, Sivia, a little earlier on. I promise I was listening. But did you say the game had come to a conclusion, the Super Rugby game, or was still ongoing?
Tom, it was ongoing when I last spoke to you, but it has come to a conclusion. Now, what I can tell you is the Brumbies have beaten the Lions in Canberra 31 points to 20. Going over to the Singapore Sevens, Canada have just beaten Scotland 33 points to 10. Quite a big upset there. And currently live, Fiji are taking on South Africa. South Africa lead that fixture 5-0.
Can someone explain to me what is going on with the world of sevens? Because I was watching a little earlier on today. Scotland beat Fiji earlier on today. This is Fiji, who haven't lost a game for about 3 weeks or something like that. Scotland beat Fiji, and now Fiji, and now Canada beat Scotland, huh?
It's a beautiful game, Tom, and I think that's what's really increasing the popularity of sevens, is that at the moment there are so many competitive teams on the sevens circuit. You don't really know. I mean, we know for all those years New Zealand were like the Mercedes-Benz of Formula One. New Zealand were that of sevens. They were dominating for so many years. Now we've seen America come on strong. South Africa's there and thereabout. As you say, Canada, these smaller teams are doing well. Even Spain, Kenya. So I think it's really, really adding to the sevens mix.
Keep an eye on that one for you. Monster, did you get that goal scorer for us?
Just checking the tables here, though. It's Espanyol Deportivo Alavés. And Deportivo Alavés are actually fighting for a Europa League spot there. So it's a very important game for Deportivo Alaves today. If they win, they go on to 48 points, and that's probably a Europa League spot. So they need to win this game more than Espanyol.
Keep an eye on that one. 1-0 at the moment in the first half there. Off to the cricket for you now. Mumbai Indians are taking on the Rajasthan Royals. Indians going along nicely as well. Six overs remaining in their 20. They're 124 for the loss of 2 wickets against the Rajasthan Royals. Kings 11, Punjab in action a little later on against Bangalore. Who's scoring the runs then for the Indians this time? Mumbai Indians, that is. Quentin de Kock, 59 not out, 59 from 39. and he's just been joined by the big man, Pollard, Kieran Pollard of the West Indies. Rohit Sharma scoring 47 a little earlier on today, and Shadav Yadav getting 16 from 10 balls. So the Mumbai Indians going along nicely. Wickets for Kulkarni and Jofra Archer, the only two to fall at the moment. We'll keep an eye on that game for you. Ross, Chris, what's happening at the Masters?
Well, it's the 83rd Masters, and scores are going low, and we have a lot of big names up there on the leaderboard. Francisco Molinari, Jason Day, Brooks Koepka, Adam Scott, Louis Oosthuizen. Say that last name for me, Carlos.
Oosthuizen.
Sorry about that. Sorry to butcher that. DJ at 6-under, Justin Harding 6-under, Tiger Woods at 6-under. In fact, this Masters itself is the best Masters ever in terms of a day three in the history of the Masters in terms of scores. Five players share the 36-hole lead. Molinari, Day, Scott,
Oosthuizen,
Koepka, at least all have one major title between the five of them, all in the lead right now. And then, of course, there's a man who has 14 majors trailing them, Mr. Tiger Woods. Dustin Johnson with the 2016 U.S. Open title. He's also one shot back. In fact, this is the most players within one shot after 36 holes in the history of the Masters, with nine players in the mix. Can't wait for the next 2 days, Carl.
Now, Ross, Chris, I know you haven't been watching the Masters for 83 years, but I honestly don't think I've seen a more tighter leaderboard in the last 20-odd years of the Masters. And honestly, I think at the moment it just shows you in what a good space golf is in the world, because there's so many people contending at this moment in time. And honestly, I think it's very, very tough to choose a leader. But, Ross, who's impressed you so far?
Phil Mickelson, when he came out, and he, you know, a lot of people have been writing this guy off for the last couple. I guess since he did the little playoff thing with Tiger, that was a big bust. But he came out and he had a very, very good 67 for his first round. I really like that. I like what Tiger Woods has been able to put together with a round of 70. Then he comes out with another 68. Bryson DeChambeau came out with a 66. He really went low on the first day there, so he had a really good round. Ricky Fowler also in the mix at 3-under. He posted a 70 and a 71. Cooch, he's at 4-under. He had a 71 and a 69. He's been hitting the ball very, very well today. Ian Poulter, you know, he's not the most liked guy in America, but he had a 68 out there on his first day. So there's so many big names, Carl. It's just who's going to emerge out here at a day three. Certainly some of these guys are going to drop off. Some are going to move forward.
I mean, a lot of talk before the tournament, Tom, about Rory McIlroy. We need him to complete this. He'll only be the sixth player in history to complete the Grand Slam if he does win the Masters. But off to a really, really sluggish start. And Rory just seemed to struggle for consistency. He's sitting at even par at the moment. And I think he might have to wait another year. To me, on this course currently, with the players up there, that seven shots to make up, I think he's just going to ask a little bit too much of the Irishman.
Let's look at some of the guys that did not make the cut. Some of these names that you should expect to see out there on day three. Danny Willett, he's been playing good golf the last couple of years. He did not make the cut. He posted a 75 and a 73. Mike Weir, former winner, Canadian Mike Weir, 72, 76. Sergio Garcia, Justin Rose, both of those guys missed the cut. Adam Long, Brent Schnedeker, all missed the cut. Shane Lowry all also missed the cut. So some big names didn't make this cut. The cut was at 3 over. So if you were over 3 over, you missed the cut. ZJ barely snuck in there. And I'm told on Twitter right now during his practice round, he is hitting the ball extremely erratic on the driving range. So he'll be the first one up during our show today. We'll get you the live scores as they come in. He will be in the second group to go off today out there in Augusta. He's at 3 over. He'll be paired with Billy Horschel, who's also at 3 over par.
Keep an eye on the. I mean, it's interesting, isn't it? When Tiger ticks, the world stops in many ways. And interesting, some of those. I was reading with a sort of a gasp some of the headlines this morning. Obviously, Tiger with a great round yesterday, but the headline writers were rather going with the fact that he narrowly avoided a serious injury.
Yeah, he did. Did you see that, Tom?
He didn't.
Tom, honestly, that to me could have ended in disaster. And I just, you know, yes, Tiger, I actually asked a question the other day that I don't believe there's a sportsman currently on the planet, or even a celebrity as such, that can attract the crowd like Tiger Woods can.
What happened? Explain to people what happened.
So basically what happened is Tiger hit this miraculous shot. He was clearing the crowd, and obviously the crowd liked to follow him very quickly. The security guy came in. He slipped on the grass, and what should have just been a formality of a slip looked like a Chris Smalling soccer slide, and basically his knee hit the foot of Tiger Woods. Tiger definitely seemed a bit of pain and then kind of limped off. So
and manned up and went, okay, it's not as serious as it should have been.
Yeah, but I also think that, in all honesty, I know we like to get up close to the players. I myself like to get up, but it's Tiger we're talking about, people. Keep the space. Give the man a bit of time to play his shot that he can move on, because to me, that could have been a lot more serious than what it actually was.
Have you seen it? It got dubbed over with WWE announcers, the security guard. It is phenomenal. It was on Twitter. But speaking of freak injuries, Jason Day, leader at 7-under, sharing the lead right now at 7-under. Well, he had a freak injury. Kissing his daughter.
Yeah, so long story short, obviously coming off a back injury this year, I was warming up on the putting green, then I saw my family, so I went down to give my little girl a kiss and my back went out. So that obviously wasn't the greatest start to this Masters, but I had Stuart walk, my Cairo walk the first, nine holes. I saw him a couple of times, and then things are starting to loosen up now, which is great.
What sort of treatment did you have after you got off the course? Because clearly even the walking was a hobble.
Yeah, well, it's just hard. This golf course is like side hills, uphills, downhills. It's actually harder to walk uphill for me. And it was hard to put any sort of weight into that left side yesterday. But, I saw my Cairo last night, and then I saw him this morning. A lot of icing, a lot of anti-inflammatory. I'm not, going too heavy on the stuff, but I've been through a back injury before, so I kind of know the protocol.
Those were the thoughts of Jason Day, who picked up an injury from his daughter, of all people. Talking of injuries, Tiger Woods, poor love, narrowly avoiding being maimed for life by a slipping security guard. Come on, you're gonna survive that. It's just making a mountain out of a molehill. Why is the security guard slipping in the first place anyway? Rain, is that what they're saying?
Poor footing.
Poor footing?
I guess he doesn't have the right boots on.
Wet
out
surface,
there for,
is that
for
right?
Security,
Has it been raining during the first couple?
Yeah, it's a bit dewy out there.
Oh, is
dewy,
it?
Okay. Yeah. It's always dewy in the morning out there in southern Georgia. So, it is the talk of the Masters right
Amazing,
now, isn't it? A security guard falling on day two is what we're talking about over in Dubai in the middle of the Middle East, talking about the world's biggest golf tournament. But it is quite amazing. One guy who's in the lead at the Masters, not for falling all over the course, but for posting 7-under, is Francesco Molinari. He is the pride of Turin, Italy, and he is in the hunt in day three.
It was a solid day off the tee, hit the ball well, hit some quality iron shots, and when I missed the greens, I missed them in the right spot and hauled a couple of nice putts. So, a good day all around.
Talk so often about if you're going to miss it, you have to miss it in the right places. But you were mentioning earlier your sense of panic around this place has dipped a bit. Why?
Yeah, I just feel my short game and my putting is a lot better. So, you still don't want to be obviously in the wrong spot around here. But when I miss the green in the good spot, I am a lot more confident that I can get it up and down, yeah.
Just a bit of perspective. You go back to 2006. I know you've seen the photo. It's been flashed often. Your first time inside the ropes here, you were caddying for your brother Eduardo in the same group with Tiger Woods, who was the defending champion after the last time you won in 2005. How do you describe from then to now your name atop the leaderboard here?
Yeah, it's been a pretty cool journey since then, yeah. A lot of things have happened, obviously, and it was a great motivation for me to come here and caddy for Eduardo and see Tiger and the best players in the world and see how much I had to work to get here.
Those are the thoughts of a few of the contenders out there on course, CBR. Who's best set, do you think, at this halfway point?
Yeah, I think, I just got to shout out a special mention to Justin Harding. This is a youngster. I'm slightly older than him, but went to the same high school as myself back in South Africa. His first Masters, and he's at 6-under par, one off the lead. Tom, at this moment in time, I think it's very, very tough. If I have to call two names here, Louis Oosthuizen, I would love to win it, but I think at the end of the day, Dustin Johnson might just prove too strong for the rest of the field.
Who do you think will be triumphing in the Masters early on Monday morning? Do send your thoughts through to us. You couldn't make up some of these pairings, though, could you? Woods and Poulter, obviously, they've got a bit of history.
Absolutely. But, we just heard from Francesco Molinari, and what a season he's been having. Open champion, and, of course, he was so influential in the Ryder Cup. And his first Masters was actually as a caddy, because him and his brother had a bit of agreement. Whoever qualified for the Masters first, the other one would caddy for. And Eduardo, of course, when they started their careers together, was slightly the better golfer than what Francesco was. And today on Twitter, I saw a fantastic picture of Francesco Molinari actually caddying in the Masters. So it's great to see him up there. I think, once again, he's going to be a contender. And the reason why I say that is because he is putting so, so well. And at the Masters, I think that's, you know, that's one criteria that you really, really need. But I think it's going to be a fantastic next 2 days. But to me, DJ to take it. The head says DJ, the heart says Louis.
Surely McIlroy's done, though, isn't he? Because he's still coming out with a few platitudes saying he can still challenge, etc. But his run is run, isn't it?
Look, yeah, I'm the biggest Rory McIlroy fan out there. He's my golfing man, but I think he's just got too much to do. And unless something really, really goes wrong, for me, Rory would have to come shoot two scores of 6 under par 2 days in a row. And at this moment in time, I don't quite think he's got that in his game, Tom.
Do send us your thoughts with regards to all things Masters. So we know that the tee-offs will get underway around about 5 o'clock local time here in the UAE. Final pair expected out on course at 10:45 local time here in the UAE. More sport up next.
Unbelievable goal!
This is The Grill, live from Barasti. Enjoy your weekend with a 99 dirham main and a hot lunch combo.
And you join us at a very opportune moment. Benji, guess what's happened? There's been a goal. Monty, you've got eyes on the big screen over there. Did you get an idea of who scored that first goal?
Well, a good move by Tottenham in midfield. And it's one of the newcomers in midfield.
Moussa Sissoko,
The Moussa Sissoko in midfield scoring a good goal for Spurs there.
We're going to keep an eye on that one for you. Spurs have taken the lead, a deserved lead. It was only a matter of time, wasn't it, Sivia?
Yeah, I think, you know, Huddersfield, as you say, they've run the race. They're all over and out, and I think they're just, you know, trying to play for a bit of pride now. But as you say, mere formality, Spurs too strong. And I tell you what, this Sissoko, quite a sizable man, literally came through there like a rugby league centre forward. Nobody could really touch him. And as you say, put it quite comfortably in the back of the net. 24 minutes played. Tottenham Spurs 1. Huddersfield 0.
So we
Victor Wanyama.
It was actually Wanyama, yeah.
Wanyama, yeah.
Wanyama with the goal. We'll keep eyes on the game for you and keep you updated on those scores as and when they happen. Talking of scorers, who scored for the early goal over in Spain? You've been having a look into that one for us, Monty.
Yes, it's Adrià Pedrosa who opened the goal scoring for Espanyol. That was a right-footed shot from center of the box, bottom left corner. Like I said, important game for Deportivo Alavés because that's a Europa League spot in place for them today.
Let's turn our attention to the world of cricket. Two games today for you in the IPL 2019. Mumbai Indians taking on the Rajasthan Royals and then the Kings 11 Punjab taking on Bangalore a little later on. CSK is still top of the log at the moment. They hold top space with 7 matches, 6 wins and just the solitary loss. Spare a quick thought though for the Royal Challengers Bangalore. They're in action late game away at the Kings 11 Punjab. 6 games, 6 losses. They are rock bottom of the table at the moment. Let's hear from one of the men who's been instrumental in the good form, the current form, of KKR, the Kolkata Knight Riders. They currently hold second position in the log. They've played 7 games, 4 wins and 3 losses thus far. And we've got another goal in the Premier League.
Tom, as you said, it seems like Spurs are just picking up the pace now. An absolutely fantastic strike from Lucas. As I say, he came across, they passed it to him out wide, came across and just, as I say, shot it across the goal. Long range strike by the man. And as you say, Spurs in a commanding position at the moment. Spurs 2, Huddersfield 0, 26 minutes played.
Lucas Moura and Victor Wanyama both on the scorecard already for Spurs. So two of the boys coming in as part of those Pochettino changes making the difference. Talking about KKR, they are currently in second position. They are still 4 points behind the leaders CSK at the moment. But let's hear from one of their key players. Dinesh Kartik has been brilliant throughout this tournament thus far, despite the fact that KKR have been missing some of their key overseas players.
So Lily is down with flu. Sunil Narayan has a bit of a hamstring issue. So these are the two people who are indisposed, and we replaced Harry with Lockie. We were in a bowler shot for sure. We had more options. Like we had Carlos who bowled only on a, definitely not a bowler shot, But a few runs short, and you know, we could have definitely bowled a little better. Obviously, it's a big game. You know, they're a good team. I think we it's two good teams playing against each other. It'll be a good game. And that's the beauty of IPL. You know, you win two on the trot and you lose two on the trot. These things happen. It's about how balanced you can stay as a team. Look, I think, you know, it's been a tournament where obviously chasing is something. Even last couple of years, the trend has been that, you know, chasing down teams have been chasing down big totals. So, you know, it's interesting the game is going down in that direction. Also goes a lot to show about how true the wickets are. You know, the ball not doing much and at some stage the bowler becomes, you know, just like a machine where wherever he delivers, he needs to execute it exactly. Otherwise, he's going to go for a boundary. We knew that we needed to get a big total, but, you know, we ended up getting probably 10-15 runs short. You know, Eden has been one place where the wicket is so true and the outfield being so fast, you know, the boundaries come pretty easily. So it's important to, you know, get a score which is about 5-10 runs more than par in other normal grounds. So, you know, it's become such a ground. See, obviously, you know, Sunny brings in a bit of batting and bowling as well. And most of all, experience. You know, having a cool head like that always helps. It made a difference. You know, a bowler like him always makes a difference. It's sort of an interesting, you know, time for us as a team because, you know, Linney has been somebody who's been opening throughout and he's produced results. And Sunny has been somebody who's, you know, given us good starts whenever he's got an opportunity. Today, Shubman has used the opportunity and done really well. You know, obviously, it shows his class as a player. But we have given him a role at seven, which is very suited to his mental. You know, he's able to stay calm in pressure situations, which is a very unique skill to have. And he's delivered for us over and over again. He realizes that, you know, whenever there's an opportunity, he'll be sent up the order. If not, he's pretty okay batting at number seven and finishing off games whenever he gets the opportunity. I think we've been very straightforward with him and I think he appreciates that. Yeah, he strained a little bit in the Chennai game. So, you know, he's had a bit of an issue. You know, he braved that still and, you know, he went on to play this game and did what he did. So he's always a special cricketer, as I keep saying.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.